Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is July 30th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this recording. I hope that you all are doing fantabulous, so which apparently is a real word. This was a discussion prior to the call. You ever want to like get inside the heads, which is a scary place of a couple of us, come on like 5 minutes early and just listen to the pre-call discussion. Like I said, though, I definitely want to say hello, a big shout out to those of you that are listening to this via recording. I had an opportunity to talk to a gentleman the other day who was one of the, you know, 100+ people who download and listen to this thing on a regular basis and are not able to make the call on live. So I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate hearing from you, and I appreciate the feedback. Of course, I like to have you guys on well, because, you know, then it can become a discussion. It can become part of the discussion. So I want to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions or thoughts you may have?
Kelly, I have a excellent customer service story.
Okay, please.
So on Facebook, because that's where everybody seems to vent, is in the, you know, neighborhood groups and stuff like that. There was somebody that had posted that they were very unhappy with a pizza company that's local to my area, and the name of it was Guido's. And they just said that they were very unhappy. They're never going to go there again. The pizza dough was raw, and they were very, very disappointed. Well, I happen to know of this pizza company that the owner had purchased the company when he was around 23 years old, and he's now close to 50. So this has been his livelihood. He started with one store and has expanded to, I think he has 13 stores in the area. So this is just like his life. And he also does a lot of community service and had donated quite a bit when I was volunteering with various organizations. So I tagged him in it. By the time that I tagged him, there were already about 30 to 40 different people that had posted and said, yeah, lately it seems like they've gone downhill. And a lot of negativity. As soon as I tagged him, he said, I went ahead, he commented and said, I've contacted the original poster and, you know, discussed this with them. I just switched out my ovens. I didn't realize I was having a problem until somebody called, but apparently it's been an issue for a while. So I did not know. The poster ended up turning off all the comments. I did not know until later on when all of a sudden we started seeing all these posts. He went ahead and contacted every single person that commented on that post and offered them a free pizza. So over 30 pizzas he gave out saying, let's make this right. Even the people that said, that's kind of crazy because we've had Guido's for years and we absolutely love them. Every single person that commented, he went ahead and made it right. So now he has over 30 people on that Facebook page saying, hey, Sean made this right, and they're fantastic now. Give them a try. So that right there, I know there's a lot of companies that are concerned when somebody puts something negative on their Facebook page or they have something negative that they post on another page. I think jumping right on there and making it right, I think that's just so important. So now he has an additional 30 customers that are going to continue to come, and I'm sure many more.
Yeah. I remember when I waited tables, through college, it was not uncommon for somebody to, for the kitchen to mess up, or even me, to mess up. I know that's a surprise to you guys that that I might ever make a mistake in you know, in organization or delivery, but it happened like once or twice when I was a server. And but the one thing I learned is the fastest way to diminish your tips was to blame it on somebody, or to, you know, make some excuse, or not acknowledge it at all was even worse as well. I mean, you kind of know a lot of times when you're giving bad service or when it's not going well. So to not acknowledge it at all, I think and definitely blaming it on the kitchen or some other people who worked there was, you know, was one of the fastest ways to get it. And it never worked. What did work, and where I would not only get average tips but above average tips, was by acknowledging it, doing what I could to make it right. I mean, people overall understand that not everything is going to happen smoothly. So I think your example's one that we can use in our industry as well, for sure, Jen. It's, we need to acknowledge it. We need to not make excuses for it. We need to let customers know that we take it seriously and are doing everything we can to fix it. I, when I was in sales, I used to tell people, look, mostly because we had these customers out there that would go out there, oh, nothing will ever happen with this. It's got a lifetime warranty. Plus the warranty will keep going after you're dead. You know, it's like, it will never break, you know, the kind of stuff, which is just simply not true. You know, so I used to tell people, you know, look, I can't promise you that this thing won't break. Can't even promise that your water won't change or that there'll be something. What I do promise you is that if it does, or if something does go wrong, I will work very hard and the company will work very hard to back it up and make it right and fix it. You know, so, and I think that customers appreciated that more than the promise that nothing was ever going to go wrong with it. You know, they are made by people. They're installed by people. It water can change. You know, I think we underpromise and overdeliver, and we have a lot happier customers in general. Good story, Jen. Thank you. Anybody else? Any comments on that? So I wanted to a common thought kept coming into my head this week, and I don't think that this is worthy of the entire discussion. I don't think this where I actually have a different topic I want to talk about, but I wanted to just talk about this one for just a second. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the old joke, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? Anybody know?
No.
You guessing? No. So how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? It's only one, but the light bulb has to want to change first. Okay. So I kept thinking about that throughout the week as I was working with some other clients and doing some additional training. And I think that's, you know, you kind of get the joke, I hope, you know, that you have to, in order for somebody to help you, you have to want to help yourself first, right? So in order to make a change, like if you want to change, you have to want to change first. And, you know, that is the premise of MotoVitality, actually, vital motivation. That's what it stands for, is making those life-altering or life-changing decisions and having the motivation to you know, because a lot of times change is hard. You know, the example I give in my book is in quitting smoking. You know, that's a challenging thing to quit smoking. I mean, a lot of people, it's a habit. I think it's more psychological sometimes than it is physical. And I believe that is the case for me, because it's been, 23, 24 years since I smoked. And there are times when I'm playing poker or sitting around a campfire or shooting pool that just on instinct, I find myself reaching for a cigarette. And, you know, it's been a super long time since I've had one. And you know, so it's certainly not a physical thing for me anymore. So that I understand the strength of habit, you know, the psychological aspect of habits of doing those things, even things that are not healthy for us, even things that are not good for us. Those things keep, you know, they're hard to get out of, and you have to have the vital motivation in order to break out of it, you know, in order to make it better. But I wanted to just mention that briefly before we jump into the topic I wanted to talk about today, because, you know, there's a lot of little cliche sayings that are very similar, right? You know, the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same things, but thinking you'll get different results, you know, or I don't know if I'm saying that exactly right, but it's basically the same thing. And so if you are unhappy with the way things are in your world, with the results you're getting, it is important to take a look at what you're doing and determine whether or not you can realistically expect different results. You know, if you're doing the same things over and over and over and over again, and you're not evaluating, you're not making changes, then I don't think it's realistic to think that you're going to see dramatic differences. Now, that's not always the case, because there is a balance between, you know, you have to balance between tenacity, you know, making sure persistence, you know, because sometimes it does take time, right? There's the Chinese bamboo tree, I think it is, that, you know, you have to water it and nurture it and fertilize it every single day. And it's, you know, and it takes months before the thing grows. And then when it grows like super fast, really, really fast, you know, it grows out. And I'd have to look at the specific. It was a story I'd heard somewhere along the line in some motivational thing about, you know, about persistence and all of that. But I do remember there's this tree that grows after it's in the ground for a long time, if you can believe that. But anyway, what was that?
That the bonsai?
It wasn't a bonsai, I think.
It was bamboo? Oh.
It wasn't a bonsai. We talked about it like 4 years ago on something. But, yeah, besides that, you're not allowed to say bonsai just by saying bonsai. You have to say it the way Miyagi did it in Karate Kid. Bonsai! You have to say it that way. You're not allowed. You can't just say bonsai. It sounds boring when you do it that way. It's got to be the Mr. Miyagi way, Jen. That's just the way it is. The rules. I didn't make them. But anyway, for Mr. Miyagi, you guys, for Corey, if you're on, Mr. Miyagi there was a movie in the 80s called The Karate Kid, and it featured a bonsai tree. All right, bonsai tree. Anyway. Where was I? Oh, anyway, so the balancing the line of persistence, right? So making sure, you know, you don't want to give up, right? You don't want to like go out there and canvas for 2 weeks and go, oh, the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing and expecting the same results. That's, you know, there are certain things that you do have to, activity creates productivity. You do have to get out there and make yourself seen and, you know, do some of those things. But if it's not working after, you know, after 6 months, if you haven't gotten any results, or 3 months, or frankly, even after a month, then it's time to not necessarily stop doing that, but to evaluate the way you're doing it. You know, if you're out canvassing, you're just driving by all these new houses and not a single person has called you. Well, maybe it's time to drive by the houses and get out and stop and talk to somebody. Or you know, slightly alter the activity a little bit. So it does require evaluating what you're doing on a regular basis. So that was something I just wanted to bring up before we spend the last 15 minutes talking about our topic, unless anybody else has anything to add to that. Okay. All right. So here's the topic I wanted to talk about today. And I saw this was on the Water Treatment Professionals Group I got this idea from there. Those of you that are not on that Facebook group that Sam Tyler put together, I'd encourage you to take a look at it. If you are going to become part of that group, it is important that you answer all three questions before you go in.
It's Water Treatment Pros. There's Water Treatment Professionals, which is also a great group. It is, Water Treatment Pros.
Yeah, the Water Treatment Pros is the one that Sam and put together, and that Jen and I did see that. There's another one. I'm not sure. I haven't really done much with the professional one. It's the Pros, Water Treatment Pros, that I think is managed and done pretty well. But anyway, yes, thank you, Jen, for that clarification. It does get confusing sometimes. Anyway, somebody had come on and they posted a picture of a 30-year-old softener. And there was some discussion over fixing, you know, I said the customer wanted to fix it and keep it. And there was some discussion over fix and replace. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit. When is it appropriate to recommend replacing, or when is it appropriate to recommend repairing? Okay, so I kind of wanted to open that up for discussion and just get some bullet points from you guys, you know, some general idea. When would you recommend replacing? And when would you recommend repairing? And do you think that that is consistent within your company, or is it different with the service and the salespeople? What do you guys think?
So if it's up to our service guys, they would repair every single solitary time. We had to set parameters up to give them an idea of when it might be a good idea.
All right, so they would repair. Why do you think that is, Stacey? Why do you think service techs would repair every time?
It's their mentality. They're out there. Okay. To them, it's a sense of pride that they can repair it no matter how bad it is. And, you know, but basically we kind of, you know, they've kind of worked with them on there's a dollar limit and an age range that you might want to bring up to the customer that if it's over this amount, you might want to talk to them about possibly. So a couple of them are kind of getting the idea and finally starting to call us and say, hey, I got this guy that, you know, the repairs are going to be about $800. It's an 18-year-old softener. He might want to talk to you about replacing it.
Yeah. So what about anybody else have a thought?
I never suggest servicing it. This is Bob.
You never suggest servicing it?
No, not the garbage that I've come across. You know, okay. I'm limited what I've seen, but I see a lot of I've seen a lot of junk, and I tell them don't waste your money servicing it. It had its life, and let it move on and start over.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
It depends on valuation, like if that product is out of market and in future you can't find any spare parts or like valves, then you can compare the new value and the repair value and show it is better to explain customer to choose that what do you want. We have both options because is your customer relation. If you want to make relation, then it is better to make a transparency between repair and new. Sometimes new is cheaper than repair, and sometimes you find something, you know, cheaper for repair also.
Yeah, I agree. Any other thoughts on that? So I think about there's a couple examples, you know, outside of our industry. And sometimes when trying to determine how to approach this stuff, I do think about the way customers purchase other things. you know, I think about the lines outside the Apple store, or the way they used to be before the world went to hell. But the lines outside the Apple store when a new iPhone came out, you know, and I mean, there, that first day the new iPhone was released, there's always a line outside that store. And I have to believe that many of the people in that line have perfectly good working phones. Would you guys agree with that, that those phones are perfectly fine? Maybe they're last year or 2 years ago model, but would you agree that they, but most of them, the phones are functioning?
Yeah, they were functioning, but they just changed due to status.
They wanted the newer, right? They wanted the newer, better system. So now there are people like me that, I mean, I like my technology and everything, and when I do buy something, I do usually buy the newest. But I recognize that the newest is going to be not newest in like 6 months, and I keep the old ones until they break. My cars, especially, I mean, this is why people lease vehicles, I think, is sometimes because they can turn it in every couple of years and get a new vehicle. You know, I had a Ford Explorer that when I gave it to my daughter had 240,000 miles on it, and she drove it for another 25 or 30,000 until we sold it. But I remember when I went to the transmission went out of my Ford Explorer when it had 190,000 miles on it. Now that's, you know, I always took care of the car. I changed the oil in it. I, you know, anytime there was a little ding or a light, you know, like a ding that came on inside the car, you know, or a light came on the dash, I always got it repaired. I always took care of it. And so when the transmission went out of it at 190,000, I took it into the transmission shop, and it's, you know, it's pretty steep. It's like $3,000 or $4,000 to put a new transmission in. And they looked at me, and they did, the way they approached it was they said, you know, for the age of the vehicle, it may not make sense to put a new transmission in. And I really loved that they gave me the option or the suggestion of getting a new, I very much appreciated it, okay, that they gave me something to think about. You know, they, and for me personally, because I knew I wasn't going to sell the car, you know, I knew I was going to pass it down to my daughter and I wanted something there. It seemed like a reasonable amount of money, $3,000 or $4,000. I wouldn't have been able to buy a new vehicle as good as the one that I had to give to my daughter. So, you know, that was as safe and as reliable as that Explorer was. So for me, even though in many cases it wouldn't have made sense to do it, I did make the repair, even the really costly, expensive repair of putting a new transmission in. But I really appreciated the option. I appreciated that this transmission shop didn't just look at it and say, oh, yeah, we're going to make all the service money and we're going to do it. I have, in our industry, run across, and I don't know if you guys have ever had this experience, run across customers where, you know, the service technician, in an effort to serve the customer, because, yeah, initially it is less expensive. And, Stacey, you're right, there's a pride thing about being, you know, wanting to fix it and being able to fix anything. Okay, but when that breaks, or even if it doesn't break, what if that customer is, you know, they've got a 20-year-old softener. Now, it can still be softening the water, but have we had advancements in efficiency and quality in the last 20 years in the water treatment industry? I mean, think about the products that you carry. Okay, have your products changed or advanced or gotten better in the last 20 years in any way?
Yeah,
more efficient.
More efficient. I know in many cases, the boards are more reliable. Even if it's a system, you know, where they had cooling issues or, you know, they've just gotten them, they've done better, you know. So things have advanced in our industry, especially with on the drinking water side, the reverse osmosis system side. Things have gotten dramatically better since I've come in the industry, just in the efficiency of the membranes and the way they function and work. They're night and day difference on a lot of them. But, you know, so let's say you go out there and you've got this 15-year-old softener and you're able to fix it. Service is able to fix it. But then that customer is talking about this $500 service call that they just had. And they're talking to their neighbor who just put in a $2,500 softener that has way cooler bells and whistles. You know, maybe, maybe it's more efficient. Maybe it uses this or that or whatever. And they're now upset because the service technician never even talked to them, never even suggested to them, you know, this, I can get this going. This is still a good softener. It will work. It will soften the water. I can't guarantee it's that something else on it isn't going to break in another 6 months because, you know, it is 15 years old. But I can get it going for you today and it may last you another 15 years. You know, it's even with a few repairs here and there, or you could apply that $500 towards this new system, which has a brand new warranty on it, is a lot more efficient, works a lot better and, you know, whatever you're going to describe, and give that to that customer as an option. Because if you don't offer that as an option, then when they're talking to the neighbor that just is really super proud of this new, efficient, awesome looking softener or drinking water system or whatever it is, now they may potentially go from being upset that they or being happy that they only spent $500 to repair their softener to being upset that they didn't have an opportunity. They didn't even know about the upgrade. That's the thing that is lacking, is a lot of times it's not even offered as an option. Okay. Like, you have to at least offer it as an option. Now, if your service technicians are not going to do that all the time, that is where I would encourage you, if you're looking at opportunities to increase your own sales and you feel like that is a common, a common mishap or a common neglected conversation with your service department, then I would spend more time with your service department. I would spend more time going back and getting in touch with the customers that have service scheduled. If you have any way of getting access to what's on your service schedule, to knowing when people are going to, you know, when are we going out there to service something, you know, and you know, some of you might be going, well, they just, you know, what about the ones that are only 5 years old? Well, then I refer you back to the line at the Apple store. Okay. It doesn't really matter. I mean, people, there are so many, go to any used car lot. There are a ton of cars that are sitting on used car lots that are only a year old or 2 years old. And those have a much greater value than a water softener or a drinking water system or anything like that. We can't assume that just because somebody put something in 5 years ago that they're not interested in upgrading or getting something that improved. That especially works well if you have some sort of a reconditioned system, you know, where you can resell that system, or if you have a rental program where you can put it out and rent it or that sort of thing, so that you don't have a bunch of used equipment sitting at the office that, you know, that costs us money as well. But that is how a lot of companies get their refurbished or reconditioned equipment or build their rental program equipment up. Any final thoughts on this before we finish for the day? I hope that gives you guys some thoughts or a couple little ideas on it anyway, but what are your final thoughts?
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, it's Maria.
Hi. It's about communication. You need to communicate with the customer. You don't want to just give them a blank. It's their story. It's their option. You know, if it's repairable, then if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. At least, you know what, so if it breaks down again, you gave them the option. They're going to come back to you because you were honest with them. You didn't just, and then it'll even give you more referrals because you were then on their side telling them the truth. It becomes ethical. It's just you communicate.
So honesty is, it goes all the way across the board with both of them, and you're right, Maria. But honesty is talking about all of the options. Even if you think they should repair it, it's giving them the option of putting something new in, or if you think they should buy something new, it's giving them the option to repair it. So your honesty is giving them all of the ideas. You're absolutely right. Go ahead. Final word.
That was it. Just honesty. Minimal options.
Yeah.
All the cards on the table.
Who sings that? Honesty. Oh, that's Billy Joel, right? Yeah. Let's all finish up the call by singing Billy Joel. All right. No, let's not. You guys, any other final thoughts or comments? All right, then. Everybody, thank you very much. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Everybody be safe and have an incredible weekend, okay? So thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.